Chapter 10. The Fight. A few days later, I was at the window when I saw Heathcliff and Isabella standing under some trees. Suddenly, Heathcliff put his hand under Isabella's chin, lifted her face and kissed her. She looked at him and then ran into the house. I told Cathy about this later, but I didn't tell Edgar. I didn't want to upset him again. The next time Edgar went into Gimmerton, Heathcliff came to the Grange again. "What are you doing here, Heathcliff?" Cathy asked him angrily. "You must leave Isabella alone. You know that Edgar doesn't want you to come here." "Edgar," he said with a laugh, "let him try to stop me."
"Don't talk like that," Cathy said. "Tell me, why did you kiss Isabella? Nelly saw you, you know."
"What do you care?" Heathcliff replied. "I can kiss whoever I want. I'm not your husband. Don't worry about me."
"I don't," said Cathy. "I worry about Isabella."
At that moment, I heard Edgar's carriage in the driveway and ran out to him. When I told him what was happening, he was very angry. "I've let Cathy see that man whenever she wants, but no more," Edgar said. "Nelly, get two of the servants and tell them to wait outside the front door." When Edgar and I returned to the sitting room, Cathy was shouting at Heathcliff. He was standing with his back to her, looking out of the window. "That's enough," said Edgar. "Heathcliff, I've allowed you to visit my wife because it was her wish. But you've gone too far, and I demand that you leave my house at once. If you are still here in 3 minutes, I will have to use force." Heathcliff turned around and looked at Edgar. "Cathy," he said, "your little dog is behaving like a lion." My master nodded to me and I walked towards the door to call the men. But Cathy suspected something. She pulled me back and locked the door. "Give me that key," Edgar said, trying to pull it out of Cathy's hand.
"No, I won't," she shouted, and threw the key into the fire.
Edgar turned white and started to tremble.
"Oh, Edgar, aren't you brave?" cried Cathy sarcastically. "Don't worry, Heathcliff won't harm you."
"How could you prefer that coward to me?" said Heathcliff. "Is he crying or is he dying of fright? Let's see." Heathcliff went over to Edgar and touched his shoulder. Edgar turned round and hit him hard on the throat. Heathcliff couldn't breathe for a moment, and Edgar went out through the back door.
"Now you've done it," cried Cathy. "Go away before he returns with men and guns."
Heathcliff shouted, "I'm not afraid of your miserable husband, Cathy, or of any other man, but I'll go." He went over to the locked door and forced it open. Then he walked past the men outside and left. Cathy was in a state of shock. She held my arm and said,
"Nelly, I'm going mad. Tell Edgar I must have Heathcliff as my friend. I must. If I can't, I'll break both their hearts by breaking my own."
"Calm yourself, Cathy," I said. "Come, let's go to the library. I'm sure your husband is there." I was right. Edgar was standing by the library window, looking very upset. When he saw Cathy, he said, "I hope that after today, you won't want to see that man again."
"Edgar," Cathy cried, "your blood is so cold. You're like ice while I'm burning like fire."
"You must decide, Cathy," Edgar said. "Will you give up Heathcliff, or do you want to lose me? I demand to know which one of us you choose."
"And I demand to be left alone," she shouted as she ran out of the room.
Edgar told me to follow her, but when I reached her room, she had locked the door. I was sure I was the only sensible person in that house. Edgar shut himself in the library. Isabella walked around the garden crying, and Kathy wouldn't eat, and she refused to open her door to anyone. I didn't want to worry my master, so I didn't tell him that Kathy wasn't eating. Every day I took her food, but she wouldn't speak to me or open the door. Finally, when I went upstairs on the third morning, her door was open. I was shocked by her appearance.
"Kathy, you are ill," I said. "You must eat something. Here is a glass of hot milk."
Kathy took the glass and put it on the table.
"What is my miserable husband doing?" she asked. "Is he dead?"
"Kathy, don't talk like that," I said. "He's in the library."
"He's reading his books while I'm dying. Doesn't he care about me?"
"Of course he does," I said. "But remember, you told him to leave you alone."
"But I didn't mean it," she said. "Nelly, I've had three terrible nights. I've suffered so much, and all he can do is read his books."
I went to call Edgar, but suddenly Kathy screamed,
"Nelly, don't leave me! Stay with me! I'm afraid to sleep. My dreams terrify me. Open the window. I want to feel the wind on my face, the wind from the moors."
"But it's freezing outside," I said, "and you have a fever."
I touched her forehead. She was very hot. Suddenly she ran from the bed and opened the window. An icy wind blew into the room. I was trying to pull her away when I heard Edgar's voice behind me.
"What's going on?" he asked.
"Nelly, she's ill. Oh, my poor darling, why didn't you tell me?" "Ah, you've come at last, Edgar Linton," Kathy said. "I suppose we'll have lots of tears now. It's a bit late. I'll be dead soon, and I won't let you bury me at the church with the Lintons. I want to be buried in the open air, on the moors."
"Kathy," cried Edgar, "why are you talking like this? Am I nothing to you any more? Do you love that man Heathcliff so much?"
"Go back to your books, Edgar," Kathy said.
"Nelly, go at once and fetch Dr. Kenneth," said Edgar quietly. "My wife is very ill."
I ran all the way to Gimmerton. Luckily, Dr. Kenneth was home, and we both returned to the Grange in his carriage. The doctor examined Kathy and told Edgar that she needed peace and quiet in order to recover. Soon there was more bad news. The servants told us Isabella and Heathcliff had been seen together driving through Gimmerton.
"Shall we go after them?" I asked my master.
"No," replied Edgar sadly. "If my sister chooses to go with Heathcliff, she can go, but she's no longer my sister." Edgar nursed his wife night and day, never leaving her side. We moved her bed to the window and he slept beside her on a sofa. As the weeks and months passed, she seemed to be more peaceful. We now knew that she was expecting a baby. When spring came, she was able to sit up and see the moors that she loved so much. We were happy to see her getting better, not only for herself, but for the unborn child.